So it's very frustrating right now to be a used car dealer like myself in this current market. See, what we have going on at these dealer auctions are that dealerships, franchise dealers, are refusing to lower their prices. And it's not just happening on the used car dealer auction side. We're seeing from the consumer level too that a lot of these dealerships are refusing to move with the market. You can still find cars. You can still find dealerships out there that even in the market that we're in are still charging market adjustments, are still charging ridiculous add-ons. And why it's so difficult for me as a used car dealer right now is because I'm getting hit on really two fronts. If these franchise dealers, when they're giving these trade-in amounts and then they take them to auction and they don't want to move with the market and lower their prices, what we find out is that their reserves that they put on a lot of these vehicles that they're trying to send to auction, where is what I buy, that they want too much for them. So we end up seeing a lot of no sales, a lot of if bids, a lot of phone calls. And if you watch any of our auction videos, you're seeing the same thing that we're seeing, because I'm really showing you the boots on the ground kind of approach and what a lot of these franchise dealers are trying to ask for a lot of these vehicles. And we all know it's way, way, way too much. So it becomes frustrating as a used car dealer when I go into the lane and I go and raise my hand and try to bid on one of these vehicles. And I mean, the used car dealers are moving with the market because we know how much we can sell a car for, meaning that we know how much we can buy a car for to be able to make the kind of profit. But if these new car dealers are so deep into their trade-ins, because they have to make money up for a lot of these consumers to be able to get them into their next vehicles, meaning they have to pay too much for these trade-ins that they're giving to these consumers that are coming in. And then they expect used car dealers to pay that difference from what the car is actually worth versus what it'll actually bring at the auction. Then a lot of these no sales that are going through the system, it really hurts what a used car dealer like myself can buy. And we're seeing more and more and more of these stack up at auctions. We're seeing more reruns at auctions where a lot of these vehicles they're running week after week after week after week because these franchise dealers, they're stubborn and they're not wanting to move with the market and lower their prices and be able to move cars to us so we can then sell them to our customers and make money on our used car dealerships. But also what we're getting hit with is that we're seeing way fewer cars just go through these auctions because new car dealers are not lowering their prices enough to be able to sell a lot of their inventory. And that stubbornness really affects us as used car dealers, is because we depend so much on dealer trade-ins to be able to get into the used car dealer auction. So if these new car dealers refuse to lower their prices on their end, meaning that they're going to sell fewer vehicles, that means that they get fewer trade-ins. And when they get fewer trade-ins, that's a lot fewer vehicles that can go to these used car dealer auctions. And that's really the pool of vehicles that I'm able to buy. So as they continue to be stubborn and refuse to lower their prices, it really hurts us as used car dealers as far as what inventory we can buy. So I'm with a lot of you. I know I've seen a lot in the comments. I'm a used car dealer. I don't want prices to go down. That's not the case. And as far as I'm concerned, every other used car dealer that I talk to, they want the same thing. If they're not really dealing with the high end, like 1 or 2 year old used cars on their lot exclusively, we want used cars. We want used car prices to go down, and we want new car prices to go down. The more new car prices can go down, the more vehicles that those new car dealers can sell, the more trade-ins that we can get, meaning that used car prices can go down. Used car prices cannot go down when new car dealers are not selling cars. And that's what we're seeing in the market right now. And it's going to be an ongoing theme as long as these new car dealers keep their prices stubbornly high, as long as they keep doing these stupid market adjustment things. There's still dealers out there. Now, you can go to some dealers and you can buy stuff for invoice or under invoice, but there's also still dealers out there that are trying to get these crazy prices out of them. Those are the dealers that are really hurting us. There are some good franchise dealers out there that are moving with the market, but there's not enough of them to actually make a dent on the system. And then let's talk about the manufacturers. The manufacturers are not giving these dealers vehicles in which they can sell. There are not enough incentives that are out right now. There are not enough special interest rates to help get a lot of these consumers into vehicles. And it's going to be very difficult for a lot of these auto manufacturers to really move on their prices when they're doing stuff like this. So Stellantis' CEO, it looks like he's scheduled to get his annual pay to be $39 million. And this is catching a lot of flack from the shareholders. And they're trying to get the shareholders to vote against approving this $39 million deal. So the thing about it is we can look at this chart right here too. Amidst all of this, with Stellantis CEO making that much money and then being scheduled to making more money, we're seeing that they are cutting back jobs. So there are workers in Stellantis that are going to lose their job while their CEO makes this amount of money. And you see in the last 2 years where their jobs where the greatest cut in jobs have been. And it looks like it's in Europe and North America that has had the most job cuts from this. This is something that's going to keep going as long as these CEOs, they keep making tons and tons and tons of money, even when the market is going down. I would think when jobs are getting cut, that's not the time when a CEO should be getting a raise. And I show that because it's an aggravation of mine to see people have to lose their jobs because maybe the CEO is making some wrong choices, and the workers are going to suffer for a lot of these things, and we're seeing that across the board. We're seeing layoffs at Ford. We've seen some production cuts, and that's going to hurt the future of the company. Meaning they're going to have to lose workers, and it's going to be on the CEO's shoulders. But just bringing this all back together, if the manufacturers won't make a path to be able to get consumers into cars, meaning lower their prices, then it's going to really hurt the market as a whole because it trickles all the way down. It goes from manufacturer. The manufacturer can't get new car dealers the kind of vehicles, the affordable kind of vehicles that they need to sell, and then incentivize consumers to be able to buy them. Then the new car dealers won't be able to sell as many vehicles. If new car dealers can't get it to where they're taking percentages off, they're not adding these major market adjustments. They're not trying to gouge consumers to allow these consumers to be able to purchase more vehicles, then they won't be able to sell as many. And that means that used cars can't enter the system as trade-ins. This is why we're seeing a lot of people, they are continuously keeping their cars longer and longer and longer, because why would they trade in their 2005 paid off Toyota Camry and sign up for a brand new $750 a month payment? People can't do it. The way that inflation's stacking up on people right now, it's just making it harder and harder and harder for people to be able to trade up. And if they can't trade up, we can't get more vehicles into the system. I'm going to go to chat right here. If you have any questions, drop them in there. We'll try to get as many as we can. Ron's asking, do you think smaller dealerships will be acquired by a larger conglomerate? So what happens during a period of difficulty in any market, really? But if you're looking at the car market, at times when it's really good and you're selling a lot and money's flowing through the system, you'll see a lot of M&A happen, a lot of dealership takeovers, a lot of new ownership. You'll see that happen then. And then you'll also see it on the inverse side too, when we're entering into a time period where franchises they're starting to struggle, where you're seeing floor plan costs go through the roof. We were in a time period a year and a half ago where floor plan costs, the money that they were borrowing to actually keep their inventory, was a profit center for them. And now we're having reports of some franchise dealers paying it's crazy. They're paying $100,000 a month just to keep their floor plans current. We've had reports of that from some CDJR dealerships, some Stellantis dealerships, where their floor plan costs are going through the roof. And it's a factor of interest rates and them just having inventory for longer. See, they're getting hit in two different ways. They're getting more of these vehicles from Stellantis And they're having to keep them longer. And on top of that, you're having these rates that are way higher than what they were 2 years ago. So you have more vehicles that you have to pay on, and you have higher rates that you have to pay on. So these once profit centers that that these dealerships were experiencing, now they're big time liabilities for them. And the only way for them to get out from under a lot of these floor plan costs is they have to move vehicles. They have to move them quicker. And that's in the face of demand that's just not there. And the manufacturers are working a lot. They're not working as hard with these dealers to help incentivize consumers. And at the end of the day, it's on the dealership to be able to move these vehicles. But when they're still getting vehicles that they have had to pay, I mean, way too much for, the MSRPs are way too high, these dealerships' hands are really tied. Now, I mean, over the last 3 years, hopefully they've saved some of that money, because they've made a ton of money on a lot of these extras that they've been able to charge these customers. But now they're going to have to get back to the what is normal, the volume game for dealerships. And that is not making a lot of money on the front end product, which is their new vehicles. They're going to have to make it up. Talked to a Nissan franchise manager lately, and he said, I mean, they're not making any money on their cars. What they make money on is they make money on trade-ins, and then they make money on the back-end products like your F&I products, and then they'll make money in service. But what we're going to see going forward is more of what a normal car market should look like, where these franchise dealers, they're really not going to make any money on selling new vehicles. They're going to make money on everything else. But during this time period, as it gets, going back to Ron's question, as it gets more difficult for these dealers to operate, there's going to be some that go under, especially your small, there's small mom and pop franchise dealers. And a lot of them can't service these crazy, crazy floor plan costs. So when that happens and their volume dries up, they have to, if they don't have money put back from the last few years, then there's going to be a lot of them that actually they get acquired. I know last year we had a couple very large buy here, pay here dealers go under. And I think those dealerships that are holding their own notes, that are writing their own loans, they're also going to be susceptible to this because the credit environment has gotten so bad. And we're seeing a lot more repos, a lot more delinquencies. And if you don't have a lot of capital put back to cover yourself for these kind of environments, then those are ones that are going to get hurt, and they're going to get hurt the hardest. So let's go to another one here. External is asking, will it take bankruptcy to fix the market? It's going to, I don't really think, if you're talking about Stellantis specifically, I don't really think it's going to be bankruptcy that fixes anything. I mean, it's, if you're talking about a big flush, so you have a lot of dealerships go out of business, I don't think it's really going to fix anything. What you're going to have to see happen to fix this market, I think, is a big flush from the consumer side, because the consumer is what is driving everything. So if you get this flush of consumers going, basically losing their cars, and you have something like a 2008 scenario from the housing market happen in the car market this time around, because of the LTVs being so far upside down, because the negative equity being so far from what the truth is of what the actual value of the car is, and you have a bunch of people lose their cars, the demand just gets sucked out. And then in that case, I think you do see that a lot of these dealers, especially smaller ones, they will go bankrupt. And in that case, maybe we see prices go back to what we saw pre-pandemic. But in that case, we don't have a fixed market. We still have a broken market, where then you have the big players come in that have the money, be able to go in and get deals, and then the big players just get bigger. So I don't think that fixes at all. I think what we do is we have the slow grind down that we're having, what looks like right now. And then the bad players, the ones that took too much leverage, I think they fall out of the system. They go bankrupt, like what you're saying, if that's what you're talking about from these small dealers. And they go bankrupt. And then we get the car dealers like myself and some of the bigger franchise dealers that maybe don't have as much leverage as some of these smaller dealers. Or even the ones that, I mean, there are the bigger buy here, pay here dealers that took on a bunch of debt to try to get a lot more loans written. Those have already gone out of business, because once the tide goes out, you figure out really who has the most leverage, and they're going to be the ones that go under first. And I think that has already happened. And now this slow trend down is really going to be a test to a lot of car dealers. But after the dust settles over the next probably 6 to 12 months, I think we're going to be left with what looks like more of a normal looking car market. But as you look at inflation, as it goes up over the course of years, I mean, car prices do go up overall. We just got to find, we got to get back down to that kind of middle ground where prices probably should have been if we didn't have this craziness happen. And we can look at some charts from Cox Automotive to tell where that should be. But you're never going to get prices go back to where they were pre-pandemic. But even if we didn't have the pandemic, prices right now should not have even been where they were back 4 years ago, just because of how the market moves and you get this constant increase of values over that kind of time period anyway. All right, let's pull another one. Here's another one from Ron. Have you considered a larger operation with a repair center on site? No, because that seems like a lot of stress, and I am very content with what we have now. We have one location. We can max hold like probably right around 100 cars on our dealership. But when we get to round tax time, we have tried to have about 150 cars. I think the most we've had is 154 cars. And we've got a storage lot that we can use that's not too far away from here. But that's as big as I want to get, because even if we're rocking 80 to 100 cars a month, which is probably about the max that my team can handle, we're doing good. And I don't want to add any extra stress on top of this. And then we have YouTube, and I've got a 5-year-old little boy. So if I ever want to see my son at all, then no, I don't want to add anything else. So let's go to the next question. Are there any signs the automakers will be building more economy cars in the future? Yes. So we're already seeing this out of Nissan. Nissan's one of the dealerships that I've had the most experience with recently. What I've talked to their managers about is that next year they're planning on having MSRPs that are lower than what they had this year. So the manufacturers are already seeing that there's a problem in the market, and they're going to have to lower MSRPs at the minimum. But as far as affordable cars coming out, I think you're going to see more of a push towards that anyway, because that's what the market is really asking for. That's what the market's demanding right now, because a lot of these, I use Ford as an example a lot, F-150s are sitting absolutely everywhere. $70,000, $80,000, $90,000 trucks are all over these dealers' lots. But if they get a Maverick on their lot, that's $25,000 to $35,000, they sell it instantly. So the dealerships are actually begging for this. Consumers are begging for this. And now they're both going to be voting with their wallets, as from the consumer side, the consumers are not, they're not buying these $90,000 F-150s anymore, because we're seeing them stack up. We're seeing days of inventory stack up. We're seeing that because that's happening, dealers are now starting to turn down allocations. And Stellantis dealers are screaming this. They're saying, okay, if you want to keep making these Ram 1500s with that are $80,000, we can't sell them anymore. This is why we're seeing more incentives coming out of Dodge from Stellantis, and that's why we're seeing that they actually issued new MSRP stickers for a lot of these dealers. They are seeing the pinch that these dealers are having, because the dealer is seeing the consumer being pinched. So as we see that more, and as the consumer votes more with their pocketbooks, we'll see that they will bring their prices down, and they absolutely have to. Let's get one more here. Let's ask this one. All right, question. I don't seem to understand why KBB private party prices are less than that of wholesale. So KBB prices are going to be all over the place, and it's going to depend on your region too. And wholesale prices are also all over the place. And right now, I just pulled up this because I don't know whether or not what you're looking at is as far as the pricing is right. But I just brought this up to say there's no book out there, there's no website out there that can give you an accurate price on a vehicle, especially right now. KBB is not going to be able to do it. Black Book's not going to be able to do it. Any of these other sites, CarGuru gives a vague example of what a price should be. Carfax does the same thing. I look at all of these prices. They are all over the place. And in a market that's so volatile, just like this one, you can't use book values, especially too, because different regions are going to give different prices on a lot of these vehicles. I'm in North Carolina, and if I go 3 hours to the west, then a 4x4 truck is going to bring thousands of dollars more in the mountains where I am than it is where in the Piedmont, in the center of the state where I am. And you're going to see that just across the country, there's going to be different vehicles that bring different prices. And just the fact that the market is so volatile and it's changing on a weekly basis. We just got out of tax time. Prices a month and a half ago, drastically different than where they are today. Wholesale values are moving by 1% to 2% every single week. That doesn't sound very a lot, but on a weekly basis, that is a huge move. These books, they can't keep up. They are using data that was from a month ago, and a month ago the prices are 100% different than where they are right now. So no, you can't use any of these books. And I can't speak to what you're looking at specifically and whether the wholesale price should be higher than the private property price or not. But it almost doesn't matter. You need to look online and see a few different places of what's selling the same particular vehicle around your area, what they're asking for, and you're going to have to actually call and negotiate for all three different deals to figure out what a real price on a vehicle should be in your area. But I unfortunately can tell you that these books, they're not right. They're not going to be right for a very long time until the whole market normalizes completely. And that's going to be a long time from now. So you can might as well just take these books and just throw them in the trash because they cannot gauge the actual price of the market. But we'll end with that. And if you haven't already, please subscribe to the channel, like this video, and thank you so much for watching and spending a little bit of time with us today.